is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Next on News for the Soul, your spiritual life with Raymond Posch.
Raymond is a life mastery coach, writer, speaker, and host of the Spirituality Beckoning podcast. His book, Awakening to Wholeness, is a record of his exploration into spirituality and his personal awakening. As an avid speaker, his mission is to share his knowledge and help others to awaken to oneness and to make a positive difference in the world. Let's welcome Raymond back to News for the Soul.
Welcome, listening audience, to another episode of Our Spiritual Life. And today I'm pleased to tell you that my guest is Janice Liggins. She is an author of a book called Journey to Your Calling. And she's going to be telling us about that. And we're going to have an interesting conversation, I'm sure. So, Janice, welcome. And how are you today?
I'm well, Raymond. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome. And so to get started here, I will, you know, I know that you're an author, and I saw that in addition to being a speaker as well, you're a TV host. So why don't you begin by telling us a bit about what you do and why, and I think that'd be a great starting point.
So I was a business owner. I had six employees, and we helped companies who wanted to get contracts with the federal government. I would help those companies get and find the contracts, and in some cases help them even operate the contracts after they got them. And but then one day, God just shifted me in a totally different direction. And when I say that, everything was going great with that company. And I decided that instead of me just getting other companies to get contracts with the federal government, I wanted my company to begin to get contracts. So I began to go through the certification process for us to be able to get contracts. And at the same time, this is in 2008 and 2009, I was in this deep spiritual perception like I had never been before. And it's like something is wrong. Something is wrong all around me, everywhere I went, whether it was to the grocery store or to the dry cleaner, wherever, to church in my neighborhood, something is wrong. And I knew the problem was pervasive. Mm-hmm. I sensed that it was pervasive, but I had no idea what it was. I just, this strong spiritual perception. That was in 2008, and 2009, it got worse. It got stronger. Well, in each of those years also, someone suggested, Janice, why don't you try Leadership Maryland? It's a leadership program here in Maryland. I had never heard of it. And I said, why don't you go try Leadership Maryland? I think you'll like it. And I said, no, that's okay. Well, 2009, another colleague suggested it. And I thought, well, somebody else said that. And so I decided to apply. And meanwhile, this spiritual perception is going on all around me, everywhere I look. So I applied in 2009 to be in this Leadership Maryland program. Meanwhile, I was in that program in 2010. 2010 is also the year that on the business side, doors were slamming shut like crazy. Everything I attempted to do was crumbling like the house apart. I mean, everything was crumbling. Everything I touched crumbled. Mm. Before, everything I touched blossomed.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know what it was. All I knew is in the book I called 2010, the year of my 10 alligator trials. And I call it that because in the book, in the Bible, it talks about Peter walking on the water when Jesus called him to come out of the boat and walk on the water. Well, Peter did fine walking on the water as long as he kept both eyes on Jesus, right?
Right.
And so the minute he looked down at his circumstances, that's when Peter began to sink. Well, I didn't want to be like Peter. And so I didn't want to sink. I kept both eyes on Jesus. I went on a fast, what we call the 21-day fast, and no TV, no meat, the whole 21 days, no TV of any sort, unless it's a Christian show, no meat, and it's an elimination.
Good for you.
So I did it for 21 days, but I did it 4 times.
Wow.
In that 1 year, because I knew something was going on. I didn't understand what was going on, and I just knew I needed to stay afloat. And so the fast helped me keep my eyes focused on the Lord. But at the same time, what was going on in Leadership Maryland was really beautiful to me. It was God was opening doors there. So what was happening, God was shifting me from this world of government contracts and helping companies get business with the federal government into my calling. That spiritual perception that I had in 2008 and 2009, I realized after the fact that God was actually preparing my heart to be open to receive his plans for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I didn't know what it was when I said something is wrong. I didn't know what that something was. But I later discovered during 2010, when I was in that leadership program, that program had one of the places we visited was a prison. I had never been to a prison. I didn't know the difference between a prison or a jail. And I was very proud of that. I was proud that I didn't even know the difference between a prison or a jail, or know where one was located, because that meant that world doesn't touch my world. And I was just proud of the fact that that world didn't touch my world. But I was proud of the fact that I didn't know, but pride is blinding. And I was blind as a bat to what was going on right under my nose.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 2010, when I visited that prison, I had the most riveting experience in my life, because there were 52 of us in the group. And when we got to the prison, they broke the 52 of us up into small groups of six. Each group of six had a security officer to escort us through. And so we could have an intimate tour of the prison. And so we're going through the prison and we're seeing different things. And we got to this place where all of the monitors were on the wall, and the officer was pushing buttons, and you could see on the monitor guys were going in and out of doors and so forth. And I said, I want to go in. And now, mind you, of the 52 of us in this leadership group, there were only maybe 10 to 12 black people out of the 52.
Mm.
When they broke us up into the small groups of six, I was the only black in my group of six.
Uh-huh.
And so as we were walking through this tour, every now and then we saw about 4 or 5 different inmates who were being escorted either into the prison or out of the prison. And as they walked past us, in each case, they were black guys. And so when they walked past us, I spoke to each of the inmates. And I just said, hello. And each of them spoke back, hello. I was the only one who spoke. And each one of them would speak back. And I kept thinking, they're not monsters. I had always thought everybody in prison was a monster. Because that's what we see in movies, right? They're all these wretched men. And so anyway, as we move on, I said to them, when I saw them pushing the buttons in, on the monitors and the guys going in and out, I said, I want to go in into one of the cells. And so he asked the captain, was there any empty? And captain said, number 7 should be empty. And so as they started to take me, the other 6 ladies, the other 5 ladies said, I want to go. Well, I really didn't want them to go with me because we were not having the same experience. When I saw these young men, I saw my son. I saw my nephews. I saw my cousins. I saw men in my church, men in my neighborhood. I didn't, mm-hmm. you know, it was a very, very deep, rich experience for me. And I know they weren't seeing, the other ladies were scared. They were scared to death. I wasn't afraid at all. I was just in the state of perception, seeing a bigger picture. So when I went into the cell, we all went into the cell. And I looked at the officer and I said, close the door. And he says, "Are you sure, ma'am?" And I said, "Close the door."
Hmm.
And when I heard the clink of that cell door close, my life changed instantly. And I said, "Oh, no." And so after that, that was in 2010, when the program was toward the end of the program. It was a year-long program. This leadership program was a year-long. And this was July when we went to the prison. In October, we got together and we had a reflection on the year. And we could all ask questions. And my question was, how did the prison visit impact you? So from October, we went to the prison in July. October, it's still very fresh and rich to me. And so we started talking about it, and one gentleman just burst out crying like a baby.
Hmm.
I'm not saying just quietly weeping. We were in a big hotel ballroom. We broke up in first little groups of I had 15 in my group talking about the prison visit, and he started crying then. At the end of the day, we all 52 got together in a big circle. The same guy starts crying again. Everybody, you know, I don't mean weeping. I mean out loud bursting.
Wow.
And everybody in the circle, all 52 of us, everybody's head was down. People were dabbing their eyes. And everybody was just, it was a gripping moment. It was a very gripping and riveting moment. And that was a Friday. That Sunday evening, I sat at my computer and I sent an email to all 52 of my leadership classmates. And I said, anytime we witness an emotional reaction from everyone in the room to a singular topic, you're witnessing the genesis of an assignment, a clarion call to action.
Mm-hmm.
And they all, you know, started emailing me the next morning, Monday morning, my email was blowing up. Sign me up. I accept the call. So they began to call the project that I was proposing we do, they were beginning to call it the clarion call. Because I said, you're witnessing a clarion call to action. Well, that's the name of the nonprofit. The Lord led me. Those doors he was closing in 2010. Now, mind you, at the same time I'm going through this leadership group and I'm seeing all of this new thing unfold, at the same time, the business was crumbling. The government contract part, was all the doors were slamming. So God was opening one door while he was closing all of the others. And I knew God was in that leadership. I knew he was doing something, showing me something. So at any rate, 2011, in the Bible, just real quick, in the Bible, it talks about Abraham. And God told Abraham to leave all that was familiar and go to the far distant land that God would show Abraham. Well, that's kind of what he did with me. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he had me leave all that was familiar, the world of government contracts, and leave, go to this far distant place. He would show me the world of prisons and jails and mass incarceration and nonprofits. I knew nothing about any one of those four. Nothing about prisons or jails or mass incarceration, not even nonprofits. I had never even volunteered for a nonprofit except my church. And so 2011, when the leadership program was over, the government contracts were shut down. So I sat in my home office and I just did research for a solid year. All I did, because I had, how can I operate in this new world that I know nothing of? And so I researched prisons, I researched jails, I researched nonprofits, I researched mass incarceration. And at 4 years, the whole year, that's all I did. At the end of the year, I had enough information. I felt like, okay, great, I got it. I see it. I see the picture now. And I put together a PowerPoint presentation and with a collection of all of the data and facts that I had just researched and now understood very deeply. And I went on a speaking circuit. And so I went from knowing nothing 1 year to being a speaker. The next people would invite me to different places to speak. Sometimes I'd host my own engagement to present things. I was on People would invite me to prayer breakfast they would have on a Saturday morning at their church, just different occasions. Even Bowie State University here invited us to come, and we put on a town hall on mass incarceration. And because there's so many things that fuel the prisons that most people have no clue exist.
So did you form a nonprofit organization?
Yes.
At that point?
Yes. And so I wrote my own nonprofit application. I did it all because I was used to helping other companies get their certifications in various things. I had never done that for a nonprofit, but I did my, and it was approved like in 21 days. And some people say that's like, you know, unheard of. It usually takes 6 months, 9 months to get it approved. But the nonprofit and the website is theclarioncall.info because that's what we do. We get info out to people about some of the trappings that lead to the prison population growth. And in addition to that, one of the things we're doing is we've launched a reading program just to help kids read, because that's one of the main things that fuels the prison population is illiteracy. And kids are going to school, but the schools are just doing a terrible job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of teaching the kids to read. If they don't get it by a certain grade, then oh well, they just keep pushing the kids off. So I am doing the nonprofit, and again, speaking, that's where the TV show comes in, by the way. It's the title of the TV show is the Clarion Call TV show. And mm-hmm. It really, remember I said our website is .info rather than .com.
Right.
It's .info because we try to push information out. And the TV show serves just as another platform for us to get information out to the public. And it's not one of the major broadcast networks. The county where I live has a public broadcast station. And so I'm able to record there, and then we still send it out to distribute it to our viewers.
So do you do coaching as well related to your book?
The coaching actually, when I'd like to back up a little quick minute how the book came about.
Okay, good.
I'm busy with the nonprofit, doing the work of a nonprofit. And then one day I was in my kitchen, minding my own business in my kitchen, and I heard the Lord say, write a book.
Hmm.
And he gave me the title to the book. Well, the title just went right past me because I was still stuck on write a book. And I immediately said, Lord, I have nothing to tell the people. So I asked you to write the book through me. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
Ideas just started flowing like water. And I was scribbling, writing as fast as I could to capture the thoughts. And I couldn't write whole sentences because they were coming so fast. If I wrote the whole sentence, I'd miss the next thing behind it. So I was just capturing words and topics and thoughts and scribbling as fast as I could. And everywhere I went, I had to take paper with me because I never knew when the ideas would start or stop. And this went on for 3 weeks. At the end of 3 weeks, it just stopped. And so I took all of the scribbles and I organized the scribbles into groups. And there seemed to be a sequence of those groups, what should happen first, second, or last. And so I put them in sequence. Then I realized that those groups were to be my chapters. And so I made them my chapters, and you can still see the sub-scribble, the little sub-bullet. And so there's 7 chapters, and that served as my outline for the book. So the whole book was outlined cover to cover before I ever wrote the first sentence. And before I started writing, I just asked the Lord, because I was really busy with the nonprofit. And I said, Lord, how do I write the book? Because basically I was asking him, how do I fit it in? Because I was so busy with the book, with the nonprofit. And he said, arise early at 5. And so I got up at 5 o'clock every day, and I grabbed my laptop, and I propped myself up in bed, and my fingers would just go. I wrote every day for 6 months. usually about 3 hours a day, I would write. Oh. And never once did I have even a second of writer's block. It just flowed. And at the end of 6 months, I didn't try to read as I was going. I was just typing. And at the end of 6 months, I put it away for 3 months. I don't know why I did that. I just didn't touch it. I wrote every day for 6 months, and then I put it away for 3 months. I just felt led to do that. And at the end of 3 months, I then went back and I read. I just opened it up to a certain part, and I read. And it was still on the computer. I hadn't even printed it. But when I read, I got so encouraged. And I said, Lord, I got encouraged. I got encouraged. I wrote it. But that's when I realized, no, I did not write it. Mm-hmm. I asked the Lord to write the book through me.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. So it was the Holy Spirit who wrote the book through me.
Right.
And when I go back even now and I look at the book, I still get encouraged. And not the most amazing thing to me is I didn't know all of the stuff I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
I was learning as I was typing because it was the Holy Spirit actually. It was my fingers on the keyboard, but it was the Holy Spirit leading me as to what's said. And so I was learning as I was typing. It was a very, very enriching
right.
experience. It was a very precious moment. And that's how the book got into be. So the reason when you mention coach, at the end, the Lord told me I am to do classes and about the book, and the classes will be like how to journey to your calling. The title is Journey to Your Calling, but how to journey to your calling. And I have to do classes, and I'm also to be a journey coach, where we are all already on a journey. We are all in the journey
right.
of life, whether we realize it or not, whether we know it or not. God has put each one of us on this planet, for each one of us has a specific task or a specific assignment that God wants us to carry out. He put us here to carry out a specific task. And unfortunately, most people live and die and never know what that task is. They never know what their assignment is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think God had this book put in the earth. He wanted this book in the earth because too many people are living and dying and never coming into an understanding of why he put them here.
Right. What year was it that you wrote that book?
It took 3 years, and it was published in, it came out just in 21.
Oh.
I'm sorry, 2020 is when it actually came out.
Okay.
Yeah, right in the middle of COVID. but it was, you know, it was great because, I mean, I was working from home anyway, so COVID didn't affect me too much. But I'm thankful for it because the reason I believe he had me want to do classes is because a lot of things, the way we think is in this earth, things are just twisted. When, you know, the Bible says, in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. There's nothing good, meaning the natural part of who we are, being our body, as the physical part of who we are. There's nothing good in it. And because we are spirit. God is a spirit, and he made us in his image. And so we are spirit. But because we live on this planet called Earth, which is a natural planet, we need a body to dwell in. We need our spirit. So, but most people, we are so focused on our body that we dress it up, we make it look good, we whatever it wants, we give it, you know, whatever it wants to eat, that's what we feed it. However it wants to look, that's how we dress up. And the body has a mind of its own, and it wants what it wants, and it wants it now. And it'll say, more liquor.
Right. Yeah.
More
drugs. It's amazing how often I come back to the Wayne Dyer quote that we're spiritual beings having a human experience, and how important it is to know that we're spiritual beings.
We have to remember that. That's the most important thing, because this body is only temporary.
Yeah.
Our spirit is forever. So we get caught, we lose track of the real deal, the real message here. And I think he's absolutely right. We're spiritual beings having a human experience.
Mm-hmm.
But we're having a human experience for a reason. It doesn't end there. What is that reason? Why are you here?
So
what is it for you to do? Go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm sure it's the answer to the question I'm going to ask is complicated enough, you know, or maybe not complicated, but involved enough to take time to answer. But
okay.
What is the key to identifying? And this is for the listening audience.
Okay.
To figure out, or how do they know their calling?
It's a process that we have to grow through. It doesn't happen overnight. And because, let's say like this, if there was a doctor, and when that doctor is a baby, the baby has no clue what a doctor is or what a doctor does. The baby has to grow and mature and go through certain experiences
mm-hmm.
in education, in discipline, because doctors have to be very disciplined enough to get through all the studies. Okay. So there's certain character traits that they develop as they are aging, as they are growing. The same thing happens with us in our spiritual life. We start off as babes.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible calls it babes in Christ. And we have to grow. We have to mature and we grow. You wouldn't give a two-year-old keys to your car.
Right.
And so as a young spirit, as a young babe, you wouldn't expect to know what your calling is. You've got to grow and mature and become disciplined, just as that doctor did. You have to develop a certain character, and you have to just basically learn how to obey, because God does speak to us if we listen. And to be able to know and hear and understand the voice of God and obey, that's the key. Obedience is the most critical thing that anyone can do. Now, the key then is, how do you get to understand the voice of God? For me, I can remember, I always, you know, my mom and dad were Christian. They raised me Christian. I was in church all my life. And, but I didn't have a relationship with the Lord. I knew of him, but I know my parents loved him, but I loved him because they did. But I didn't have my own personal relationship. And it was my father who caused me, not by what he said to me, but just how he lived. It was my father who caused me to want to get to know the Lord for myself. He was about to have surgery, and we all met as a family. We were all together. I was in my 20s at the time. And there were 11 of us in our family, 9 children. And my dad was going to have surgery. And so we all gathered, and we were kneeling in the living room in front of a chair, in front of the coffee table, wherever we could find a spot. The baby started praying first, and we worked our way all the way up to my mom, and then my dad prayed last. And we were all praying that the surgery would go well. Well, he also prayed that the surgery would go well. But then he said, "Lord, if it is not to be so, that the surgery go well, if it is not to be so, help my family understand that it is really with you that I would rather be.
Hmm.
Help my family to understand that I lived all my life just for the day when I would see your face." Well, I'm kneeling, and he's saying this, and I'm thinking, what is he saying?
Hmm. Yeah.
how can he say that? Would he rather be dead than to be with us? And it just really sent my head spinning. Because how could he say that? To be with God, I mean, you have to be dead. Because he want to be dead. And that sent me on a quest. I never said anything to my father about what he said. It just intrigued me to the point that I thought, he knows something about God that I don't know. And it sent me on a quest. I wanted to know God for myself. I wanted to know God like he did. And it sent me on my own quest for the Lord. So I just began to just pray in whatever rudimentary way I understood at the time. And I just kept praying. And I would hear, sometimes, you know, we hear God. I can remember I would hear God say, call this person.
Mm-hmm.
Call that person. And I didn't want to call the person. Our flesh never wants to obey the Lord. Our flesh never wants to obey God. So when we hear, call this person, call that person, we have to begin to understand the difference between the voice of God and our own thinking, or even the voice of the adversary. So what was happening, when I would hear, call this person, call that person, I didn't want to call because our flesh never wants to obey God, right? And so I didn't want to call. And I thought, I don't have to call that person. I don't have to call this person. And I did it. And then one day I would hear, this went on for a while. And multiple different occasions. And one day I heard it and I thought, I don't have to call that person. And then I thought, Janice, shut up. That's not God, because God does not speak like that. God does not say, I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. That's not God. And so when I realized that wasn't God, I realized it was his adversary trying to talk me out of doing what God had told me to do. God said, call this person. The adversary said, you have to, and I thought it was, in both cases, I thought it was just me having my own thoughts. But yeah. it was the influence. You know, the battle is for our mind. God wants our mind and our thoughts, so does the adversary. And so we have to begin to lean more towards, what the Lord is doing. So it took me a while. The next time I heard, I made my mind up that the next time I heard that small voice, I would obey. So I heard it again, another time, call this person. Sure enough, I did not want to call the person because our flesh never wants to obey God. Already committed that I was going to obey. So I called the person. I picked up the phone. Before I dialed, I prayed that God would lead me on what to say and go before me and touch the other person's heart to be open and receptive to my call. So I called the person and the call was beautiful. The conversation was beautiful. At the end of the conversation, I hung up the phone and I literally flopped back in my chair. And I said, God, you are so awesome. The whole purpose of me calling that person, God had me call that person because that person had been thinking of me. And when I called that person wanted to bless me. So the whole purpose of me making the phone call was for me to get blessed. So I thought, so that's how it works. And so, it doesn't mean every time God tells us to do something, we will be blessed for obeying. How we get blessed is going to be different in every situation and for every person. But God will never tell you to do something that's going to hurt you.
Right. Let me, I'd like to take what you're saying and kind of add some comment to it. My view for and this is especially for my listening audience, because I know from the coaching that I've done that a lot of people have a fear of God.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, one of the things I talk about quite a lot is that in our current state, for most people, we are so dominated by what I call ego, and that's I'm using it in a spiritual sense, not a psychological sense. Our ego, that mental construction within us is, for most people, is very heavily based in separation. You know, we're separate from God, we're separate from other people, and in fear. We are mostly fear-based, you know, and all of our so-called negative thinking and negative emotions are all based on fear. And once we could ever come to understand that we are part of something whole and something that's intended to be beautiful, you know, the wholeness of life, the wholeness of existence, the wholeness of creation. And, you know, we can think of it in terms of we are being guided to serve the whole, you know, not just, you know, I can understand that some people would react to, I have to obey in kind of negative terms. But if we can understand that we are all a part of this great whole of life, it is living, it is intended to be magnificent, but because our thinking is so fear-based and reactive, and you know, you're calling it being in the flesh, but I think we're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, that if we could come to see that there is this great wholeness of life that we are a part of, and we need to serve that, not fight that and react in fearful and negative ways because we don't understand that we are a part of something so much greater.
Yeah.
If we could change that, our thinking and change our reaction, we would have the kind of view that you're talking about.
Yeah.
That we are being guided to help the whole, you know.
Yes, that's true. That's true. And one thing that if I could offer in regards to the fear part, the fear of God, think of God as, I call him two things. I call him Abba Daddy. Abba just means daddy. And I call him my Heavenly Father. So imagine, think of God as your father.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a father or for those who are mothers, you would do nothing to hurt your baby.
Right.
You're going to protect your baby no matter what. And you're going to lead, you're going to guide your baby. And if your three-year-old daughter or son wants this big 10-inch lollipop, you're not going to let them have it. Because you know it's not good for them.
Right.
Okay. So you lovingly give them something else instead, but you're not going to give them what they ask for. Sometimes God doesn't give us what we ask for because he knows it's not good for us. But that's out of love. Just like you held that 10-inch lollipop out of love, not because you were mean. So think of God as your Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm.
He will never hurt you. He will never ask you to do anything that was going to be bad for you. Even when you are in the midst of bad situations, difficult situations, hurtful situations, even in the midst of that, he will use that situation for your good if you allow him to lead you. And so, fear, the Bible actually says fear is not of God. That's scripture. Fear is not of God. God, you know, that's a tool of the adversary. It's not of God. And so I would really encourage anybody, don't be afraid of God. The Bible does say that we should fear him, but that means we should reverence him. We should honor him. We should respect him. Not fear in the sense of, you know, don't want to talk to him or anything like that. No, that fear just means a warm reflection, a warm reverence of God.
Right. And I talk about how, so God is, to kind of put it into your terms, you know, God is all loving. God is, is serving the good. His intentions for everyone is for good.
Yeah.
And, I know that some people actually, they're so embedded in fearful thinking that they say, no, I don't believe that, but it is true.
Yeah, the interesting thing is God is God, and he's God all by himself, and he does not need any human to believe in him for him to be who he is.
Right.
He's God, whether we believe in him or believe him or not. He's all powerful, whether we agree with that or not. He does not need us, but we all need him. And the challenge and the real difficulty in someone saying, I just don't believe that, and just putting a wall up, is that they, life is hard. And you cannot make it through this life without some kind of hurt, some kind of pain, some kind of trouble. It happens in every life. Well, life is hard, and you're going to go through tough stuff, whether you know God or not. It's so much more peaceful. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You can go through your trials and tribulations at least in peace. It may be hard, but you're not going off the deep end because of it. And so go through life at least with a sense of fulfillment and peace, as opposed to anguish and, having to take a drink or get high or
right.
just to ease the pain. And so I offer, I go through difficult things, and I love the Lord.
Yeah.
And I know he knows. But so when we go through trials, and I have this, he gave me a beautiful way to look at trials that blew me away. It's in the book too. But we go through, when we want to get strong, we go to the gym and we lift weights, right? We want to bulk up our muscles. And let's say you go to the gym. I've got a bottle of water here, and I'm going to pretend it's a barbell, and I've got my elbow on the table.
Uh-huh.
And this is a 5-pound weight. Well, 5 pounds, I'm a lady and I'm old, okay? So 5 pounds, doing my arm lift with my elbow on the table, that's a lot of weight. And I'm going to lift that weight. It's a lot of effort to lift that weight. But I know if I lift it, it's going to give me more muscle strength. Mm-hmm. What if I get 20, what if I get 10 pounds? I'm going to really have to work to lift that 10 pounds. A lot more effort, a lot more weight. A lot more muscle strength. Let's say I get a 20 pound. I'm going to struggle like crazy to lift that 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. But if I do, I know I'm going to get a lot more strength. Well, we get stronger by lifting heavy weights. God uses trials in our lives as spiritual barbells to strengthen our spirit man. Because we start off, remember, as babes. And in order for us to grow and become stronger, we're going to go through, he may not cause the trial in our life, but he's definitely going to use it.
Right.
If you're going through it, he might as well use it for your good. And he says all things work together for your good, for
right.
those who are called. And so he's going to use that trial as spiritual barbell to strengthen your spirit, man.
Yep.
Because we grow through what we go through.
Right.
We are to grow through. Some people don't want to go through anything. They'll say, deliver me from this. I never ask God to deliver me from anything.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Some people, they'll say, God didn't give me what I asked for.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're talking about here is very much in line with answering that question. I mean, God, we are here to learn lessons, to grow spiritually.
Exactly.
And we have to learn those lessons. Bad things, you know, something we might call bad, the trials you're mentioning, will keep coming back up in one form or another until we learn the lesson.
Exactly.
And develop the strength,
exactly,
as you say, that we need, the growth that we need in order to move ahead. It's so, I agree completely with what you're saying. And we can look at it in so many different ways. And I'm just offering, I know a lot of my audience sometimes, and there was a time when I was very put off by Christian terminology. You know, it just sounds so different when you come from a different spiritual perspective. But it's true. I mean, what you're saying is true. We have to learn lessons along the way. We have to grow.
Yeah.
We have to develop. In order to be able to respond in the right ways in life, more constructive and powerful ways,
exactly,
to serve both ourselves and the greater whole.
And the greater whole. And what I have found is the best way, I call it passing the test, because there's in the school system, the school system starts with K-3, and it goes all the way to 12th grade. Then you have undergrad, grad, and you know, your PhD level. Well, there are more levels of spiritual growth than there are levels in the education system.
Mm-hmm.
And so we continually are to get stronger and stronger and stronger spiritually, because we won't be able to take on the assignment that God put us on this earth to do, and if we remain babes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've got grown men or grown women who still act like they're 15. They didn't mature. They're not responsible. So they're not going to be able to get a job as director of some corporate entity,
right,
because they didn't mature. And so the same thing with us from a spiritual perspective. We have to continue to grow spiritually. We have our spirit man has to become stronger. And so how does our spirit man become stronger? In addition to going through those different trials and allowing the Lord to lead us in what to do and how to carry it out, just like he told me to call this person. Okay, and I obeyed. If you have two lions, and these lions are both in cages. One lion is given 50 pounds of steak every day. And he's allowed to get out of the cage and run around and be exercised. The other lion gets a bowl of just garbage every day. And he's never allowed out of the cage. At the end of 30 days, those two lions have to fight.
Hmm.
Now, which one do you think is going to win?
Right.
The one who's been fed and exercised.
Right.
Well, our spirit and our body are those two lions. whichever one we feed the best is going to be the strongest. It's if you let our body, again, has a mind of its own and it wants what it wants. And it'll say, give me more potato chips. It'll demand things that are not good for you.
Right.
But if you, what do? We feed our body every day, but do we feed our spirit every day? The way you feed your spirit is with the Word of God. Read the Bible. Listen to the Bible. Listen to Christian music. I mean, that's the way you feed your spirit, because we are all spirit living in a body. We agree to that. Well, you've got to, in order for your spirit to get stronger, you've got to digest, feed yourself, and digest the Word of God on a daily basis, just like you feed your body on a daily basis.
Right. Well, I believe that there are other good spiritual sources as well. And so you know, I would broaden their perspective, but I would also caution that there are spiritual sources that can be misleading too, you know, and not necessarily lead to growth.
Right.
But yeah, but we need spiritual growth. We also need, we are three-part beings, body, mind, and spirit, and we need to nurture all three.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. All three, that's true. The battle is the battle is for our mind. There's a God wants our thoughts, and so does the adversary. If the adversary can control our thoughts, he can control us. And so, you know, we have to be very careful with what we allow in our ears and our eyes, because that's the gateway to the soul.
Right. And, you know, like that's, I have a friend who, well, I guess it's been going on a couple of years now. He told me that he was upset all the time and not being productive at what he wanted to do. You know, and I explored that with him, and he was listening to the news a lot, and he didn't like what was on the news. And he didn't like the politics, you know, and I talked him into turn the news off. You know, be very selective on what you listen to on television or any media, and instead nurture yourself in other ways. You know, find inspirational and motivational mm-hmm. information to feed yourself with, not all of the violence and divisiveness, disrespect that's on the news. You know,
that's good advice for everybody. You know, I used to be in the news a lot because of the nature of the nonprofit. And I was watching a lot of news reports, especially, and I would grab different things that I could use within my nonprofit. But after a while, I still had to do the same thing. I had to cut it back because you can't absorb. I wouldn't watch just one show. I'd put it on a station and I'd watch one show after the other, new show. And I had to just stop because it's like, this is over the top. And, you know, so you're right. All of us, you have to unplug. We need that information. We need to know what's going on to some extent.
Right.
You don't want to be oblivious to what's going on, but in small doses.
We're running out of time here. I hate to draw this to a close. We're having a great discussion, but we're out of time. So say, you know, any final thoughts that you have, and tell the people your website.
Okay, wonderful. The main thing I would ask everyone to do is ask your Heavenly Father, just call him Heavenly Father. You don't have to give any name specifically. And just say, if you're real, or if Jesus is real, make him real to me. Just ask that. And then whatever God tells you to do after that, do it. You can't go wrong by asking that, by saying that. And then as far as the book is concerned, it is titled Journey to Your Calling. So the website, just add.com, journeytoyourcalling.com. So I encourage you to do that. I believe this is the roadmap. It's a how to journey to your calling. I'll caution you, though, everyone, you could read the whole book from cover to cover. You will not know what your calling is just by reading the book. I asked God after it was published. I said, Lord, how do I promote this book? Because it's not a novel. It's not woman who meets man, you know, gets married.
Right.
It is, he says, it is the book you do. It is the book you do. So if you want to come into your calling, do the things that are in the book. Do the things that are in chapter one. And when you finish doing the things in chapter one, however long that takes you, it could take a day, it could take a month, it could take a year. Mm-hmm. However long it takes you to do what's in chapter one, do it. Then go on to chapter two. It is the book you do.
Book you do. Well, very good. Janice, thank you for being on the show today. This has been a wonderful conversation.
Thank you.
And I really appreciate you. And I'd say to you and I'd say to my audience, all of you, have a great day and a great life.
Amen.
Amen.
Your anger.